WYPR is here to keep you connected to your community. And as our communities change amid the coronavirus pandemic, that connection is more important than ever before. Member support makes it possible. And if you can, we hope you'll help us out. If you're a sustaining member, consider increasing your monthly pledge or become a new member with a first-time gift. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link. And thanks.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. In a number of large American metropolitan areas, it has become common for high-income earners to move in while others are priced out and induced to move elsewhere. Newly available research from Issy Romem, chief economist at building data website BuildZoom, finds that metropolitan areas like New York, Los Angeles, Miami, and San Francisco are experiencing an influx of new residents from other parts of America who earn substantially more than those who are leaving. As indicated by the Wall Street Journal, many have fretted that such dynamics would become commonplace, with lower and moderate income residents pushed out by rising housing costs. There are many implications, including children forced to change schools and workers required to change jobs. While having high income people move in sounds advantageous, the outmigration of people with lower incomes comes with a cost. These folks frequently supply effort to restaurants, hotels, and other businesses. This trend is most apparent in San Francisco, where home prices have risen about 90% since 2010. Many former industrial hubs like Detroit, Cleveland, and Philadelphia are experiencing the opposite trend, with new arrivals earning less than those who are leaving. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. America is in the midst of a pension crisis. More than 1 million workers and retirees could lose their pension benefits within the next two decades. As indicated by CNN Money, many of these people worked in construction or were truck drivers who belonged to a union. They paid into union pension funds set up to cover workers from multiple employers. According to a report from the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College, approximately 100 of these pension plans are expected to run out of money over the next 20 years. Lawmakers from both major political parties agree that something must be done. It's just not clear what. A major issue is that there are many more retirees than active workers participating in these plans. Approximately 83% of participants in plans facing insolvency are already retired or left their companies for other jobs. What makes the situation even more problematic is that the government agency that normally steps in when a pension plan fails is also in trouble. The Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation expects its insurance program for multi-employer pension plans will run out of money within 10 years. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. There was a time when the standard for job growth in America was 200,000 net new jobs. In other words, for a jobs report to be considered solid, the nation needed to have added 200,000 jobs or more over the course of a month. But the days of such large gains on any kind of consistent basis are approaching an end. That's because it has become so difficult for many employers to fill available positions. In May, approximately 23% of small businesses indicated that securing qualified workers represented their single most important business problem ahead of taxes and regulations. This finding comes from the National Federation of Independent Business. The 23% figure represents the highest share in nearly two decades. The shortage of available talent is translating into rising compensation costs. The fraction of small businesses reporting increased compensation this May was the most on record in monthly data going back to 1986. Small businesses are especially likely to experience difficulty filling available positions. Unlike large firms, which often support dedicated recruitment teams, small companies often lack the wherewithal to offer large signing bonuses or other inducements. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. During the Great Recession and its aftermath, employers had a much easier time filling available positions. Consequently, many significantly expanded the number of credentials job seekers needed to offer to be considered for employment. But the recovery has now begun its 10th year, and over time, bargaining power has shifted toward job seekers. Now even people with limited credentials are finding their job searches proving more fruitful. as indicated by writer Sarah Chaney in May. The unemployment rate for workers aged 25 years and older with less than a high school diploma was 5.4%, down from 6.2% a year earlier. As late as September 2016, unemployment among those lacking a high school diploma was well in excess of 8%. Of course, those with more educational attainment are finding the labor market even more welcoming. In May, the unemployment rate for college graduates was just 2%. The swift decline in unemployment for the less educated is an indication that a tightening job market has been drawing in workers from the margin to share in the gains of the economic expansion. The growth of e-commerce represents another factor, with Amazon and other online giants struggling to find workers. For WYPR, I'm Aniban Basu. This is Aniban Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. Some of you may view subsidies offered to businesses by government to be a source of frustration. Why, you wonder, should companies, often with lots of money, be asking taxpayers for support? One of the explanations that policymakers give for such subsidies is that if they don't offer them, other communities will lure away economically important businesses. Economists largely agree that it's bad economic development policy for communities to give into these impulsive tit-for-tat handouts. After all, that's money diverted from education and from other priorities. In a new book recently featured by the New York Times, economists Nathan Jensen and Edmund Maleski of Duke University argue that much of what's going on is pandering by politicians. Voters want jobs. Ribbon cuttings and splashy announcements suggest that politicians are working diligently to take care of job seekers and their families. Survey experiments find that people are more likely to say that they would vote for a governor when told that that official helped secure a hypothetical 1,000-job manufacturing plant. Independent voters even prefer a governor who offers generous tax incentives to score such a plant over a governor who secures the same investment without making an offer. For WYPR, I'm Aniban Basu.